are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, friends, it's time for us to get into our deep dive. We're going to be speaking with Pastor Nelvin Chitambo one last time on the subject of supporting loved ones struggling with addiction. Now, we're speaking about hope that doesn't hurt you, and that's an interesting subject, right? What we know about hope is that it's beautiful. Hope is a beautiful thing, but when it's tied to someone else's behavior, come on, it can be exhausting, right? Because we can't control it. And so today is about cultivating hope that is rooted in truth instead of fantasy, the kind that lets you breathe even when your loved ones are still struggling. So let's get into it. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back once again to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Would you please pray for us as we get into our final session for this week?
Our God in heaven, your name be glorified and be honored. Dear God, we discuss the subject of hope. I pray that may you help us to hang on unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. All right, Pastor, this is our final session, like I said. So let's get into one subject that can be frustrating. It can even hurt. It hurts your heart because you have these high expectations and these great hopes for the people that you love and care for, even as they're struggling. But what does hope look like when nothing seems to be changing? You've been praying, you've been offering your support, but somehow this person is not coming out of this struggle.
You see, there are times where you feel exhausted because you have been hoping that this person will change, this person will get better, and nothing is happening. But we need to understand that hope must shift from people and to look to God's character. We need to have the confidence in God and not in people. When our confidence is in the people that we are hoping that they change, we'll definitely get tired of them and we'll be frustrated. Mm. The other thing that we need to understand that when we talk of hope, hope accepts the reality without losing faith.
Mm. Mm.
You need to make sure that you accept the reality of the person, yet you're not losing the faith.
Yes.
Because what happens is when there is nothing that is happening, people tend to lose the faith in what they've been praying for. People tend to lose the faith, the confidence in the people that they are praying for. We need to understand that in the matters of change, we cannot predict the point or the stage or even the period at which somebody will change. Mm. All we can do, it is to pray for them and to make sure that we do not find ourselves being more frustrated than the one having the burden. Mm. The other thing that we need to do and do think it is, when you talk of hope, hope always focuses on God's timing and not our timing.
Mm.
You need to understand that transformation does not depend on our schedule. Transformation does not happen according to our planning, but God works transformation in his own time.
Mm, mm. Beautiful, beautiful. It's really important for us to recognize God has his own timing. And how then do you protect your emotional health while you're staying connected with this person and trying to remain hopeful at the same time while you're watching them deteriorating or you're watching them not improving? How do you protect your emotional health in that situation?
Just like we have been discussing, I'll begin with number one, you need to set boundaries that honor both the love and also the wisdom. Just like Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart, okay? Boundaries are very important. You need to guard yourself. You need to know where to stop and where to begin. The other thing is you need to practice what we call health emotional detachment. This is what it means. It does not mean indifference. It does not mean denying the person. What it means is you are separating yourself, your image, your identity from their life.
Mm.
Because people tend to identify themselves in the life of another person just because they are there to support the person.
Mm.
You need to make sure that what the failure of this child is, the failure of this child, just like I've been emphasizing, is not your failure. You are just part of it in trying to help. And then you need to make sure that you maintain supportive relationships outside the struggle, okay? Mm. No one should carry the heavy emotional burden alone. You need to surrender to Jesus. You see, there is always a point where you realize that I think all I need it is to surrender this person to Jesus. There are people that you do everything possible. You go an extra mile, yet you do not see a change. When you feel like that, all you can do is surrender them in the hands of Jesus. And he knows how to fix them best than we can do.
Powerful, powerful. And what spiritual practices can help us to stay anchored in those moments?
Number one, it is prayer. It is an honest prayer that you offer, pouring your heart to God and explaining how you feel about the situation. Make sure that you make mention of the person to God. And you see, every prayer that is uttered does not go to waste. You need to understand that when somebody is going through an addiction, yes, it can be a physical manifestation, but that thing is so spiritual because it is only the devil that enslaves someone into a certain practice that deprives them from the other life. So we need to understand that in as much as we can try to address this thing with a physical approach, but the problem of one addiction is a spiritual battle that needs God's intervention. So we need to pray for them. Then the other thing is sometimes meditate on the promises of God. Try to think of what God has promised and what God can do for this person. Then the last thing that you need to do, it is be thankful to God. When you see a little change in this person, make sure that you thank God, okay? Mm-hmm. Even the person, you try to say, I thank you, Junior. You are changing. Be able to observe the little change that is happening in their life, that you are able to thank God, and also they themselves. Let them feel that at least I'm trying. Do not trash them always. Let them not feel like they're not doing anything concerning their situation.
Right, right. Now, how do we celebrate the small wins without getting attached to, you know, the final outcome?
Thank you so much. You know, especially when you see a bit of change in somebody that you've been praying for, somebody that you've been trying to control, you want to own that change. You want to put it on you. You want to think like it is your achievement. You want to think like it is your doing. You need to understand and recognize that progress as evidence of God at work, not your final victory. You need to understand the progress that you have seen. It is God's, those are the evidence that God is at work, not your works. Okay? You need to celebrate the behavior change, not the promises. I need to explain this. You know, you do not need to celebrate the promises that this person is making. Sometimes the person who is addicted can even be crying and promising to you to say, I'll never do it. I'll never do that. Yeah. I've stopped. Yeah. They might even throw away the drugs. But look at the behavior. So do not celebrate the promises they are giving. Celebrate the behavior change that you are able to see.
Powerful.
The other thing is, you need to make sure that you allow progress to encourage you. Do not define your expectations. Let the progress be the one to tell you to say, I think you're doing something. The progress on how the person is changing, not your expectations. Like I've always been mentioning here on this platform for this all week, I've been saying, see, you cannot put so much expectation on someone concerning the thing of changing from an addiction, because they might not respond at the pace that you are pushing them to respond. So do not put so much expectations.
Right, right. And finally, my pastor, what does it mean to trust God with someone that you love deeply? You talked about this earlier when you were speaking about how we could protect our emotional health, the importance of surrendering this person to God. You also talked about the fact that this battle with addiction is not a physical one, but a spiritual one. How do we trust God with someone that we love? How do we do that, practically speaking?
The first thing is we need to admit that we are not their savior.
Amen.
We cannot do God's work in their life. It is only Jesus who is their savior. So in as much as we love them, we need to understand that concerning the issue of overcoming an addiction, it is only Christ who can come through to them. You need to understand that when we are believing God, God is able to see them clearly more than we can see them.
Yeah.
You see, God is able to understand, identify their problem more than we can actually, we ourselves identify it.
Mm-hmm.
God is able to associate himself to their problem more than we can associate ourselves. We need to understand that when Jesus associates himself to a problem, the problem does not affect him, but he affects the problem. But when we attach ourselves to someone with a problem, in the long run, we are affected by the problem.
Hey. Yeah.
But Christ does not get affected, he affects the problem. And then the other thing, we need to make sure that interceding for someone does not mean controlling them. When we are interceding for this person who is going through an addiction, even if we love them, we should not control them. Because control changes the whole thing. You get the burden upon yourself when somebody has to deal with it. The last point that I want to speak to God's people is, you need to realize that all your fear and all your anxieties concerning this person, I'll repeat again, surrender it to Jesus.
Amen.
It is only Jesus who can come through to another sinner and help that sinner. So with this, I think we are able to help somebody with an addiction.
Amen. Amen. Sure, that's beautiful, Pastor. Before we let you go, any final thoughts that you'd like to add? Maybe something you want to emphasize that we touched on earlier on in the week, or something else that maybe we might have missed, but a very important point that you want to share with us and to summarize for us on the subject of supporting our loved ones who might be struggling with addiction.
Thank you so much. I'll begin with an addiction. We need to understand that an addiction manifestation of what is happening to somebody spiritually. So in as much as we want to help, we need to realize that this is a spiritual battle. Of course, physical approach are also needed. And then the other thing, we need to understand that while we are helping these people, do not lose yourself in the process. We need to understand the last thing is, there is only one Savior under the sun and in heaven. That is Jesus who can save.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming through this entire week and sharing with us from your experiences, from your insights, and from your knowledge about how we can support our loved ones who are going through difficult times with addictions. We appreciate your time. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.